share together in this abundant love that you've given us. We open our hearts today to you, Father, the lover of all things, the creator of all things. We position ourselves today to hear the voice of your Spirit to our spirit, to lift us up, to encourage us, to tell us who you really are, and to show that love manifested today in our midst. We thank you that as your children we can sit around your throne in this way in freedom, that we can sit around your throne and enjoy your presence, O Lord. And we thank you so much for this Easter day, this Resurrection Day. We thank you, Lord, that we really have something to celebrate today. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have as family to join hearts here today. Oh, Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for teaching us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is so good. You know, I've thought a lot about this over the years, and several years ago I taught a series in our church on the cross, and the one question that I came up with that a lot of people ask is, why a cross? It's a hunk of wood. Why? What's a cross got to do with me today? You know, Christianity has to be relevant to our lives every day. And we have to know that this is not just just some old guy writing a little story like Hansel and Gretel or something like that. This is reality. This is real. This is something that God Himself ordained. Why? Why did it take 4,000 years of life to get to a time when Jesus came, lived His short little 33 years, and then died on that cross? It seems like something's wrong with that, don't it? I mean, when you really just think about it logically. But we can't understand these things with the mind of the natural mind. We got to understand them with the Spirit as He enlightens them to us. So I kind of went through, I got a little condensed version of this, and I'd like to go through it with you. To understand the cross, you cannot start at the cross. You have to back up. You have to go back and look into the heart of God Himself as to why. If you understand that God is love, and in 1 John, the Bible says specifically, though, no matter what translation you get, I got about 30 of them on my computer, every one of them says it the same way. God is love. We read it as God has love, which He does, because He is love. But when you understand that He's the being love, He is love itself, the being love. When you understand that, then the Bible makes a little more sense. It becomes a love letter to us. Well, if He is love, then what He does has to be linked to love. Otherwise, He couldn't do it because He's the being love. That's not real complicated, is it? If you are love, then you're going to love, because that's who you are. Well, there was a space of, for lack of a better way of putting it, there was a space in eternity where there was nothing, nothing at all, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's all existed. There wasn't anything else. There was no heaven, because heaven was created. There was no throne except His own where He stayed and lived. There was only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. No angels. Nothing. Well, then God loves so much that love has to be expressed. It has to flow out to something. It's limited if it's not flowing outward. So God started creating. He said, let there be light, or light be, literally. Creation came about. Now there's a heaven and there's an eternity. So He creates a little pocket inside of eternity called time. And that's where we live today. And He, in this, He loves so much that He created. There's still not, with all this creation and eternity, there's still not enough to love yet. There's no one like Himself other than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're one. So it's still not enough to love yet. Because love, that's all He can do. So now he creates his pocket of time, and he makes this lump of clay, puts everything in there, and he builds a man. But it's just a lump of clay. There's no life in it yet. Now, if you think about it, everything else he just created and sent it on its way. But this one, this creation, he didn't. He built this man out of the dust of the ground. Not like the rest of the animals or anything. And then the Bible says he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man. Now, where did the breath come from? He said he breathed it. Himself, God, breathed life into this lump of clay. And it became alive. It became alive with God's own life. That's why you and I are so precious to Him. That's why we're so very precious to God. It's because the essence of God Himself was breathed into this man. The very breath of life from God's own heart breathed into this. Now, He didn't do that with none of His other creation, not even the angels. We are very special to God. We are a rich treasure to God. Because He said, let us go and create someone just like ourselves in His image. It don't make us God, but we're like Him. We function like He does. He gave us a gift nothing else has, and that gift is called choice. Choice. Now, we kind of cast it off as something immaterial, but choice is what makes us different. We choose. Every day of our life, every moment of our life, we make choices. So when Adam made a choice, he chose to eat when he shouldn't have. God put that tree. I always wondered why in a tree, in a garden where there's only life and good things, why in the middle of that thing would you put a tree that he said don't eat? I mean, it doesn't kind of make sense. You kind of, like you're setting up mankind to fall, right? I mean, you tell them not to push a button and they push a button. Well, you shouldn't have put the button there. You know, otherwise they're going to push it. So he told man not to eat of that tree. Well, the serpent convinced Eve and Eve convinced Adam and they ate. Well, man died, just like God said he would. Died didn't mean instantly. It meant separated from God. What did God say after that? He said, we got to get them out of the garden, because if they eat of that tree of life, they will live forever. Had Adam went from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and went right over to the tree of life and ate right after that, Jesus could have never come. We would have been in eternal hell because we would exist forever. There could be no death. I hope I'm not getting too complicated, but I got a story here. And most of us, we never thought about this. And to understand why the cross, you got to understand the process here. Well, here is the man that God loved. Just like himself, he put his own life into this man. He's a living, breathing part of himself. And now he has separated himself. Can you imagine what went on in the heart of God when part of his own self left? Was no longer there with him? I can just get that image. Where did you go, Adam? Where are you? It's not that he didn't know where he was. It's no, he's no longer part of his heart the way he was before. And Adam turned. And now God has to come up with a plan to get him back somehow. Otherwise, he's lost part of himself. His own life is not there no more. So throughout 4,000 years, he set up covenants and different ways that man could choose life again. The Bible says clearly that Satan had no deceiver, therefore he had no redeemer. But man was deceived. So therefore, God sent his only Son so that we could be redeemed. So that there could be a process for us to get back to that relationship. with God that He wants so dearly. There is nothing in all creation that God cherishes more than man. And Jesus is just like God. A couple months ago, I was talking in our church, and I said, I had this image while I was talking about setting your love upon Him. I got this image in heaven of all this time frame in eternity when there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they're fellowshipping. And the angels all saw Adam, or saw the devil cast out. They saw that. He did wrong. He tried to usurp himself above God, and he was cast out. And the angels saw that. Well, all of a sudden, they look around, and there's no Jesus. Where'd He go? Where'd Jesus go? They didn't know what was going on. Jesus was brought into the earth, so He left heaven. So there was a space in eternity there where Jesus was not in heaven. He was here. Can you imagine what the angels looked around and thought? What did He do? Did He do something wrong? Where's He at? He's not here with us. Why did He go? I saw the conversation between God and Jesus saying, Son, I love Him so much. We got to have Him with us. Will you go? Somebody has to go. Will you go and be the sacrifice for them? I can see the love of Jesus looking at the Father and saying, yes, I will go. Do you realize that God loves us so very much that He actually separated from His Son to do that? What a value He places upon you and I. And we don't know it. We see a stick of wood sticking up and a bunch of songs about an old rugged cross. Well, that cross is of great value. It bridges heaven and earth, time and eternity. It's changed our destination. And it's given us, because of the power of choice that you and I have, that power that He gave us as human beings, that privilege of choice that we have, we can now step out of death into life. The cross is not the end, it's the beginning of a much greater story, of a much greater relationship than we can even imagine here in this walk with God. It's not a cheap price. Jesus walked 33 years and a half on this earth, totally man. Totally man. But Him and the Father were still one. Jesus, and it says throughout that, I do nothing except the Father show me. They were one. Right up to the cross itself. The Bible says there was a short time when God turned His back on His Son. He had to. Can you imagine what went on? We celebrate what Jesus did, but what about the sufferings of the Father? What about what God went through? What about that? Think about this time in the garden when Jesus is praying and His will is becoming the Father's will. He said, I don't want to go this way, but let this cup pass from me, but Your will, but nevertheless Your will be done. He was conforming to the will of the Father because of His love for us. Now, Jesus had walked those 33 and a half years with us, knowing every sin that we partake in, being despised and rejected and kicked around and spit on and everything that you can possibly think of, and still that great abundant love. He still went to that tree. But do you know the cross, the pain and the agony and all of that? You can describe that and it's horrible. But He wasn't the only one that went to the cross. There was two other men beside Him. And actually, if you know history at all, the cross was a common thing. It was not unusual. It was a common method of capital punishment. So what made His death different than anybody else's? There was a difference. If all he ever did was went on that cross, we still wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be celebrating Resurrection Sunday. Because what did I say? Resurrection Sunday. Easter is not the celebration of a death. It's a celebration of life. It's a celebration that he paid that price, went into hell, paid for our sin once for all, and then he rose from the dead and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. Was anybody else raised from the dead? Yeah, Lazarus. But he wasn't raised from hell. He was raised from the dead. You don't think about that. There's a lot of difference here. But even the cross itself, the agony in the garden, his time in hell, all of that was not the most horrible part of Jesus' journey through death and into the resurrection. I mentioned a while ago that there was a time when God turned his back on his own son. Small space. It's in Hebrews, the first and second chapter, and it's in Isaiah. The Bible says specifically that he turned his back on his son for a short time. What's that mean? It means rejection. It means for the first time in the existence between God and the Son, God and the Son were not connected. They were not one anymore. Jesus was 100% alone. Think about that. That was the most horrible part of the cross. Right there. He had never been alone before. He had never, ever had his Father's back to him. God has never had his back to his Son. Why? We're sitting here today. That's why. Every one of us has that value to God. Think of the price. I don't think we're aware, even in a small way, of how much this cost for us to stand here today the way we are and celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We'll spend an eternity finding this out, searching this. You know what the most horrible part of hell is, if you would happen to go there? It's knowing that. If you spend your eternity in hell, and you're going to go to hell or heaven, one or the other, there's only two places. You're living for God or you're living for the world and the devil. There's only two. All roads lead to the cross. Everyone that's ever lived or ever will live, believers or non-believers, will all face the cross. We'll all see him. We'll all know what he did. We'll all understand to the fullest what I'm saying today. Even though I'm able to tell you this, I can't tell you I understand the fullness of it. It's not possible in this life to understand the fullness of it. It's just too big. But we can get a glimpse of it. The most horrible part of hell is living eternally, knowing that price that was paid. Being able to see that love right there, you can't do anything about it. I mean, that to me, that would be the most horrible part of hell, to spend an eternity that way, knowing that God loved me that much, and I didn't do anything about it. Can't say he didn't, because he done everything he could. He will not go against our choice. And it says, even though you were dead, in other words, you can receive Jesus in a coma because your spirit's not dead. It's not dead. No man knows what the last spark of life is. Just because the body stops, is that the last spark of life? Who knows? You're going to have to find out for yourself, and me for myself. But there's a space there somewhere where life actually ceases. Up to that point, whatever that is, we can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved from that. But once that spark of life is no longer there, we can no longer choose. We have to do it in this life. Think about it. You're never too old. You're never too young. You know, think about it. I don't know if we really understood the price that we could turn that price away. Because if we ever really had a glimpse of what eternity is like without Him, I think it'd be a no-brainer. I mean, I don't want to go there. To realize that everything has been paid for. The entire sin of Adam, everything that you've ever done, that anybody's ever done, there is no sin too great that will send you to hell. It doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how many times you've done it. Doesn't matter. There's only one sin that will send you to hell. Just one. And that's rejection of Jesus. And you've got till the last spark of life, whatever that is. Think about it. What a great price was paid for us. I didn't do any of my sermon. But I think I explained to you today why the cross. We're sitting here. Why the cross? Why the cross? Right here. Because of that great, great, great love God has for man. We are so precious, precious to Him. Most of us know John 3:16. If we've ever been in church at all, you've heard John 3:16. For God so greatly loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Well, the Amplified says it a little bit differently. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He even gave up His only begotten unique Son so that, and this is the reason He did it, so that whoever, I don't know about you, but I'm a whoever. That means whoever. No restrictions. Anybody. No matter how far you've gone, no matter what you've done, whoever. Okay. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He even gave up His only begotten unique Son so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on Him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation, be made safe and sound through Him. He who believes in Him, who clings to, trusts in, and relies on Him, is not judged. He who trusts in Him never comes up for judgment. For Him there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not cleave to, rely on, trust in Him is judged already, has already been convicted and has already received his sentence because he has not believed in and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name. Think about that. There's only two paths and two choices, really one choice. People say there's two, there's only one. The other choice is made for us by Adam a long time ago. But there is a choice, and that choice is Jesus. And you can make it any time you want to. Mother's going to tell you how to do that here shortly.
Thank you, Pastor. What a great price that we're bought with.
Amen.
You know, my dad, and I might have told the story before, I don't remember, but my dad had a lot of beautiful antique guns, and one time those guns were stolen. And they were carried across a state line, so it was other... Everything gets worse and nothing gets better, it just gets more complicated. And he, when he reported this and tried to get some help from the authorities and that, it just didn't seem like it was going to work. So he himself began to check. He knew who had the guns. He knew who took them. And he knew they just wanted money for him, so they were going to take him probably to pawn shops. So he started going to the pawn shops, and he found all his guns. There were 7 or 8 of them. And he ended up buying those guns back because, you know, it was stolen property. This is back in, like, the early 60s when, you know, everything was different when it came to police officers and stuff and filling out forms and everything. But anyway, he ended up buying back his own property. And it cost him enough money. It wasn't like full price or anything, because some of those guns belong in museums. Really old black powder guns, really beautiful guns. And I think about that when I think of what God did. He had to buy back something that was already his, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was valuable. Matthew chapter 13 tells a story of the pearl of great price that a man found in a field. So he went and sold all that he had to get that pearl. That's what God did. He gave all that he had. He gave his son. He bankrupted himself by sending his son so he could have the price for that great pearl. That's us.
Yeah, amen.
That's his people here in the earth. That's his church. The pearl of great price. That's us. That's you. That's me. And the price was paid. We're not our own. We're bought with a price.
Amen.
And the price that he paid is unfathomable. It'll take us eternity to thank God for saving us from hell. You know, hell, not just that it's such a bad place, you can't get out. You'll never get out. But we've got a place to go, or we want to stay forever. And that's with Father, Son, and Spirit.
Amen.
So anybody here who needs to rededicate their life or ask Jesus to come in, maybe for the first time, we're going to say a little prayer, and then we're going to sing our last song, because Jesus lives. He rose. He took our sin and punishment with him down there to hell and left it there. He broke that curse. All the darkness and all the curse that ever came on the world, he paid for it. No other man could do that.
Amen.
Because every man was under the curse. He was the only one who was not.
Amen.
So let's ask Jesus, Lord, please come into our hearts. Even if you already live there, we want you to come up alive even stronger than ever today.
Amen.
Now, from now on,
thank you, Father.
We want to know your presence in our lives. We are sorry for our sins. We can't figure that we do much sin in the position that we're in right now, but we can be angry. We can be unkind. There's things we can do that are actually sinful, our attitudes, or cussing somebody when it's not really anybody's fault. We're just here, and it's not a good thing. But we're sorry for those sins. We want to be kind. We want to live just like you. Come
Amen.
Alive in our hearts, Lord
yes,
Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Set us free from all that stuff. And we receive the price that you paid for our salvation.
Amen.
Full and free. And we thank you for it. We thank you that you made heaven our home, and we can live with you forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If that's you, confess it.
Savior.
If that's you today, you just say amen in your heart.
Amen.
And ask him in.
Yes.
He's just a voice away.
Hallelujah.